Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
How about that game last night, fellas? Folks, ladies, gentlemen, whoever. Hey, this is Matt Williamson. You've reached the Locked On NFL podcast. Belly up to the bar for our Friday show. We're going to review last night's unbelievable performance by the Patriots. That I called, by the way. Well, I kind of called it. I called the special teams aspect of it all. Go back and check out yesterday's show. Went in depth about that quite a bit. That was a huge advantage for the Patriots over Houston. Houston special teams has historically been terrible, and especially of late, the last couple of years, and the Patriots has been fantastic. However, I'm not sure if you remember my pick or not, but I picked the Texans and less Gronk plays. So do I get credit for the Patriots? I'm not going to take it, because Gronk only played like 15 snaps or something. So I'll say I took the Texans on that one and take the loss. But I don't know. I might deserve a Patriot win there, especially with that special teams acumen that I just threw at you guys. That was pretty nice work by me, I got to say. But let's go over that game real quick. A couple things. The Patriots are 27-2 at home in their last 29 games. And they're 76-0 when leading at halftime at home. Holy cow. Special teams. Two kickoff return fumbles. I mean, it was that great plays by the Patriots? Who knows? But it was bad plays. It was obviously an advantage. Huge key to the game. Maybe the number one key to the game. Short fields that ended up in points. Great Pats punting, too. I mean, that's the other aspect of special teams that was easy to overlook in this one, too. But Houston was always playing with their back on the goal line. So, let's talk about what we saw. A simplified game plan for Brissett. He took some shots deep, very inaccurately, honestly. And people are going to say he played great. I didn't think he did. I mean, I thought he did very simple things. His rushing score was huge. It was a pivotal play in this game. But he looked very comfortable. He looked very comfortable. He looked well prepared. He looked more comfortable than Osweiler, that's for sure. He did what was asked of him. He missed the deep shots. Okay, they changed tempos. They threw a lot. You know, they did a lot of different things. I mean, Josh McDaniels is a heck of a play caller. And it's easy just to give Belichick all the credit, but McDaniels doing a heck of a job there. Brissett only threw for 103 yards. 77 of it was after the catch. You know, so, I mean, he wasn't throwing the ball downfield well. What else we got here? Texans were just overwhelmed in this game. You know, this was a lot like the zone Arizona game plan. You know, that we had a lot of two deep safeties, very light boxes, make Osweiler be patient. They only blitzed once. They blitzed once this entire game. I got some of the advanced statistics and stuff sent to me today. They only blitzed once, and they still had him under pressure. They still had him very jittery, you know, very uncomfortable. Amazing. I don't think... You know, two guys I don't think that this short week helped were Lamar Miller after back-to-back heavy carry games and J.J. Watt coming off the back. Neither one really showed up. But Miller, I've been saying this since the beginning, since they signed him, that I'm not as enthralled with this guy as everybody else is. You know, and a lot of this has fantasy carryover, and he's not on any of my teams. You know, and I'm not saying he's bad or it was a bad signing, but my point was, everyone out there that had him on their fantasy team, and I know some of you guys have, used to say, what idiots, and don't say you didn't do this, you used to look at the Miami coaching staffs, no matter who it was, and there were several of them, those guys are idiots, why aren't they giving Lamar Miller the ball 25 times a game, 30 times a game? Well, believe it or not, NFL coaches, running back coaches, offensive coordinator, head coaches, GMs, other offensive coaches, that spend every day with the young man, eat lunch with them, hang out with them, watch every practice. None of them thought he was an NFL workhorse back. I mean, maybe you know more than they do. Maybe. I mean, it's possible. I mean, from your accounting seat, or as you're on the treadmill right now, you probably know a lot more about football than NFL head coaches, perhaps, you know, perhaps. And I don't claim to. That's not what I'm getting at here. But I think when you read the tea leaves and he's been with the team, and it even goes back to his time at the U, no one ever thought of him as a workhorse back. And he was very unimpressive in this game. And again, maybe that was fatigue of the short week on the road after all those carries after two big weeks. But Houston, I mean, there were very light boxes. I thought the Houston offensive line, which is a huge concern of mine, got totally overwhelmed. His O-line didn't help him at all, but he didn't do anything between the tackles. I don't know that he is a between the tackles runner. I don't think he's a workhorse. I didn't see the burst. You know, that's what made me think of the fatigue factor. A lot of carries in the last couple days. But the entire offense was horrible, especially Osweiler. Well, maybe not Hopkins. Hopkins played well. But you can only do so much. He made a couple of nice, very nice catches. What else we got going here? LeGarrette Blount, really good after contact. You know, really had a very good game. The best he's ever run for these guys. Been a huge factor for them being 3-0. Deserves a lot of credit. I mean, against a good defense. And I mentioned Watt. And Watt did not show up at all. But he was doubled a lot in this game. They also had Nate Solder back for this game. That helped a lot. He's a good player. And Blount, I also saw the advanced statistics on this, was far better running to the left than he was the right behind Solder. Makes some plays. It makes some sense. You know, I mean, they got better on that side of the ball. Best player of the day was Jamie Collins. And I don't know if we've talked about him, but I've loved him since he came in the league. I think he's a Julian Peterson-type freak that can do everything. He had a great a nice interception. Tampa 2, he was the Urlacher middle defender, playing deep, you know, down the middle. Not a good throw by Osweiler. But Collins is a supreme athlete. I mean, I think he's playing at a Defensive Player of the Year level. I think he will win that award multiple times in his career. I'm not saying he will win it this year, but he's going to be in the hunt. I mean, he's playing at that level. You know, they won this game with defense and special teams and great coaching. Great coaching. Gronk only played 14 snaps. I'm going to get back to that. And it was a non-factor. Bennett was a factor. Gronk was a non-factor. But that's good news for them. I mean, you dress Gronk, play him 14 snaps, blow out another good AFC team. I do still think Houston's a good AFC team. And now he gets, 10 days to recover for the Bills and ease back into things, you know? I mean, hopefully he's healthy when it matters most. I don't know what else to add to it. I mean, I think Osweiler is very much a work in progress. I've said that every step of the way with him. He needs to speed everything up mentally, his drops, his getting the ball out of his hands, his release. But he wasn't the only problem today, that's for sure. I'm having a hard time pointing at Texans that played well. Really, I mean, Wilfork showed up against his own team. I mean, again, I'm having a hard time coming up with Texans that played well. And the Patriots were great. They're the best team in the league. They sit now at 3-0. One more game against the Bills, which, trust me, I'm going to take the Patriots with 10 days to prepare. And then Brady comes back from there, and hopefully Gronk's healthy at that point too. They are a fantastic organization. Like them or not, they are the best organization in all the land. All right. Let's do some picks. I decided not to do the spread. You guys can that could change week to in the future. This is not a gambling show. I don't know. We're just talking NFL here, who we think is going to win. I guess that kind of goes back to how I was raised in the podcast world in my ESPN days. We didn't talk spreads that much. But I guess I don't know who Adam and Eve's going to be then. I mean, I don't know who the upsets would be. But anyways, I don't know. Let's just talk games here. I think the Cardinals are going to blow the Bills out of the water. Yeah, it's a cross-country road trip. It's a 10 o'clock start by their time clocks or whatever, yada, yada, yada. They're so much better than the Bills. I mean, I think they're my second team, and I think the Bills are the 31st team in my power ranks. Peterson on a banged-up Watkins. Cardinals defense is allowing zero to running backs. It's a bad week for McCoy. I mean, not only is this team a lot better, but it's a bad matchup for the Bills, especially with the Cards D. I don't see any pass rush coming from Buffalo. And as good as those corners are, I like the Bills' corners, but I don't see them keeping up with Larry and Brown and Floyd without a pass rush. That's for sure. Let alone shutting down David Johnson. I think this is a blowout. Vikings at Panthers. The Vikings are a great story, and I love Diggs. I love Bradford. We've talked about them a lot this week, and I just don't trust anyone else on their team or on their offense to step up and play above average football. And you can't go to Carolina and win like that. And I think Bradford's going to take hits. I really like what the Panthers are doing. I'm not neglecting the Vikings defense. The Vikings defense is phenomenal. But is it three steps above the Panthers defense? No. I mean, I think it would have to be to keep this game close in Carolina, because the Panthers offense is just so much better than the Vikings offense. And, I mean, is Rhodes going to play? That'd be good against Benjamin. No Stewart. I can see Carolina's running game slipping a little bit. Still, I mean, the Vikes, I feel like they have to score on defense or special teams to be in this game. Panthers are the better team at home. Denver at Cincy. See, this seems like a slugfest to me. You know, that Simeon was not very impressive to me last week. But I look at the Broncos and think, hey, we just watched the Steelers hand it to the Angelo Williams a million times. And I think he only averaged 3 yards a carry or something. But if we do that with C.J. Anderson, we'll have a lot of three and outs. But we'll take all the weight off Simeon. Our defense is not going to allow a lot of points to the Bengals. Bengals' protection's been so-so, especially week one. I think Dalton gets hit in this game. Bengals are a tough team at home. But A.J. Green has to do battle probably with Tlaib. And then the rest of those corners are going to eliminate all the other options. So he's going to get, you know, Green's going to get Tlaib plus probably a free safety over the top of him all the time. The other corners will play man against the rest of the Bengals. Not so great receivers. Bad matchup. You know, so I think Denver just hands the ball to C.J. Anderson over and over and brings Booker in once in a while and gives him the ball. So I got the Broncos in this one. I don't feel great about this game. Lions at Packers. There's been a lot of talk that Aaron Rodgers is not playing well, and that's a fact. I mean, it's a fact. He's not playing well. It's the worst stretch, you know, of his career, really. There's factors outside of his control with that, but he is not playing well himself either. And I'm sure he would tell you that, you know, if he was sitting here at the bar with you and I. But I like the Packers defense. I still think, you know, Rodgers not playing well isn't a catastrophe. I mean, and I have extreme faith in him. You look at the Lions and think, boy, their linebackers are so banged up. You know, I mean, can Jared Cook have a big game? Is Ansa going to be a factor because of injuries? Are they ever going to be able to get to Rodgers? We talked about Slay. I think Slay's one of the best young corners in this game and is going to be a top five type corner. But I think the recipe's very easy against the Lions is throw at whoever Slay isn't covering. So Slay on Nelson. I think Jared Cook abuses linebackers. I think Devontae Adams has a decent day. Cobb out of the slot. Can they stop Eddie Lacy? So I think this is just too good of a matchup right now for the Packers. Although I like the Lions offense. You know, Abdullah's out though. I mean, that's a little bit of a concern. I'm going with Green Bay, but I'm not super impressed with the Packers of late at all. This would be a real statement game to me if they struggle once again. Next up, another difficult one for me. Ravens at Jaguars. And I have some emotion tied into this one. Not because I'm a Steelers fan and hate the Ravens. But I've been getting that criticism because I've been saying I don't believe in the Ravens as a 2-0 type of team, as a big-time contender. Because the teams they beat were terrible. Two of the worst teams in the league, if not the two worst teams in the league. And they barely beat them. But I'm really angry at the Jaguars, as you know. I mean, they showed their ass last week. They're an embarrassment. They blow a lot of coverages, which is amazing because they play a very simple cover three Seattle base. I mean, I see, you know, Mike Wallace running past somebody and two safety, you know, safety in a corner looking at each other. Aren't you supposed to have them? And Flacco hits them on an 80-yard bomb. I think the Ravens run the ball reasonably well. I don't know. I mean, I don't love the Ravens' defense. You know, and Ivory comes back, but I don't love Jacksonville's offensive line. I think Allen Robinson has a huge day. I think this is a very equal game. I'm taking Baltimore because I trust the organization more. You know, Jacksonville, I mean, there's kind of the one of these teams are winners and one of these teams are losers. And we know which is which. I'm going to go with the Ravens, but I think this could be a very equal game. I could make a case for both teams. I cannot make a case for the Cleveland Browns against anybody, especially in Miami. I think Miami is a league average football team. There's no shame in that. I mean, you're right in the middle of the pack. Browns are 32nd. Awful quarterback situation. No Gordon, no Coleman now. I mean, I assume that the Browns are going to try to run the ball like crazy and try to keep this thing close, but I don't think that'll work. Really think Miami's offense has a field day in this one. Tannehill lights it up. A lot of quick throws. All their receivers feast. You know, I like Miami big in this one. I like the Giants big in this one. And Washington coming to New York. I think New York's a much better football team for one. They're at home. And I think this is a very bad matchup for Washington. Washington doesn't run the ball. I don't think they'd run the ball against the Giants. I mean, if Dallas didn't, I don't think Washington will. And Washington has an array of nice receivers. But Giants have an array of nice big corners that play a lot of man coverage and do it well. Cousins throws the ball to the wrong team too much and has looked terrible. Don't trust him. And I think the Giants will pressure him heavily, even with just four. You know, Trent Williams will do fine on Vernon, but I think Pierre Paul and, in general, Cousins will be under duress a lot in this game. Nobody fears their running game. Of course, there's the Odell Norman thing. That's fine, but I think Shepard will do really well. I think they'll run the ball pretty well. Vereen will have a nice day. Odell on Norman still favors Odell. And contrary to popular belief, even if he shadows him, he's still playing zone. I mean, it doesn't mean he's going to be in his hip pocket no matter what. Norman's a great player, by the way. No one seems to talk about that. That everyone's going to give him a hard time because he signed a big deal in Washington. Why aren't you traveling? Well, he's just doing what the coaches ask him. And he's doing what he's asked to do extremely well, by the way. But still, Odell ate his lunch when they met last year. Odell's a better player. One-on-one, that favors Odell. Raiders at Tennessee. Am I the only one that thinks the Raiders' defense still has a chance to be okay? But, man, their linebackers are playing bad. Smith has been terrible. The secondary's letting up too much. They're not getting a pass rush. But can the Titans take advantage of that? Mariota can. Yeah. Can DeMarco Murray? He's played well. I think the Titans' line's done a nice job. With all respect to Tajae Sharpe, though, I just don't think he's, you know, he's not putting up 150 against these guys. You know, I mean, he's a nice player. I think he's a nice number two receiver in this league. But what I like the Raiders here is the other side of the ball. And Titans' defense is good. It is. But what answer are they going to have for Amari Cooper? I think Cooper blows up in this game. I think the Raiders' offensive line totally controls this game as well. And their array of running backs are all effective. And I don't see a real good answer for Walford. Big Carr is a big day. So I think Oakland goes on the road and gets things back on track a little bit at Tennessee. Niners at Seahawks. Could this go the same way as Seahawks-Rams? Could. I mean, if Seattle can't block anybody and Wilson can't make anybody miss and extend plays, then Seattle's going to be in yet another low-scoring game. But I think we all know that the other side of the ball is going to favor the Seahawks in a huge way. And I have respect for Chip Kelly and everybody, but Seahawks defense is going to abuse the Niners. I think they will have zero passing game. And therefore, I think you'll see Cam Chancellor hovering around the line of scrimmage and just taking away the run, too, blasting that option. And, you know, so I just don't know where the points come for the Niners. It's probably another low-scoring game. I think Lockett and Baldwin will do well against San Francisco's corners. Assuming the protection holds up at least a little. But I like, you know, Seattle at home. Seattle at home is a brutal test for anybody. I got the Hawks. Rams at Tampa. Again, where do the Rams come up with points? You know, Tampa's defense has been very generous to opposing wide receivers. But what Ram wide receiver is going to exploit that? I mean, Kenny Britt, Tavon Austin, maybe. I don't like the quarterback. Again, I just don't know where the points come from with the Rams. Tampa at home. If this was in L.A., maybe I would take the Rams. Probably not, but do they have a corner that can shut down Evans? I think that's really key when you look at the Bucs right first and foremost, you know, because against Arizona they showed that they could. They're going to pepper Evans with targets. I would imagine Sims will catch a lot of passes, but I'm kind of low on the Bucs. You know, I love Winston. I love Evans. I like Sims a lot. I like three or four of their defensive players. And then I'm struggling to find guys I get excited about for them. I mean, could Aaron Donald have a huge game in that D-line? Yeah, absolutely. I like Tampa to win at home, though. Just can't get behind the Rams' offense. You know, who's going to score points for the Rams? Chargers at Colts. I imagine Indianapolis is favored in this game. I should look at that. San Diego's a better football team than the Chargers on both sides of the ball. No Moncrief. You get Hayward and Verrett on Dorsett and Hilton. I like that a lot for the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers' run defense is better. Could Gore have a decent day? Sure. Could Luck still go crazy through the air? Could happen. But I think the Chargers' defense keeps that pretty close. I mean, I don't think it's a wonderful matchup for the Colts' offense because of the Chargers' corners. Dwayne Allen might have a nice day. Sure. Colts defense, though. I mean, I know there's no Allen. I know there's no Woodhead. But Gordon looks great. Rivers is a fantastic player. Might not even have Gates. But I just still think that I trust Rivers to manufacture offense. And Benjamin can get things done. And we'll see more of Hunter Henry, probably. I think their offensive line's decent. I like the Chargers in a close one, 24, 23, something like that, on the road. Jets at Kansas City, taking the Chiefs, but I don't have a lot of good reasons why. Really, the biggest reason is it's in Kansas City, and I trust Andy Reid and this organization more than I trust the Jets organization and quarterback and, being on the road. But this isn't a good matchup for the Chiefs either. I mean, I think Peters can do a nice job on Marshall, but I think Decker gives them a lot of problems if that's the way the matchups go. I think the Jets' defensive line wreaks havoc with the Chiefs' O-line, pretty much eliminates the run, and that's a major problem for a Kansas City team. If they don't run the ball well, they're a liability. I mean, there's no doubt. Will Fitzpatrick be hot or will he be cold? I mean, that's probably the key to the game here. I'm only taking Kansas City because they're at home, but for you bettors out there, I probably should look at this. I imagine the Chiefs are a favorite, and if you're going to give me 1 point, I think I'd take the Jets in this game. If you're talking lines, I think it's a pretty good matchup for the Jets. Steelers at Eagles. I'm going to take the Steelers. I think they're better. Super excited to see Wentz again. I think their line will do well. I don't think there'll be a lot of running game for Philly, and I really just don't like their weapons all that well against a Steelers secondary that's playing better. But I think Wentz will consistently move the ball and be very impressive yet again. I think the Eagles' defensive front will cause problems. Roethlisberger will take some hits. But I also think that Pittsburgh will run the ball, and I think they'll pretty much run the ball on anybody. And D'Angelo and that whole scheme and the offensive line is really, really playing well. And all those things I just said pretty much seems like an equal game. But then you go to, what are they going to do against Antonio Brown? I mean, Antonio Brown could go for 180 in this one. Especially after being kind of quiet last week. He's chirping in Ben's ear all week, get me the ball. There's not anyone in Philly that can cover him. So I think the Ben to AB connection rules the day in Philly. Sunday night, Bears at Cowboys. Ooh. This is another one. Elliott could go. This is going to be Elliott's breakout party. National TV. Everybody's watching. Everything's bigger in Dallas. Bears defense is in shambles. Secondary's terrible. No one can deal with Dez Bryant. I think Prescott won't have to do a lot and still will look very, very good. And I think Elliott rules the day. Cowboys offensive line has not played like the best offensive line in the league, but I think it will dominate this performance. You look at the Bears, they got Hoyer. He may not be under a lot of duress, but they're not running the ball well at all. I think it's only a matter of time before Jordan Howard takes that over. Maybe Alshon Jeffrey makes a couple big plays. That's certainly possible, but I don't think he can match Dez, and I certainly don't think the Bears' quarterback running back situation can match Dallas's. I like Dallas big here. And I think the Monday Nighter is going to be a lot of fun. Going back to, let's throw last week out. Last week was a weird game. And I know that's 50% of the sample size, man. I get it. But I still think every Saints game is going to be a barn burner. I still believe that deep in my soul. I think that Drew Brees is a great player, especially the New Orleans, the games in New Orleans in the Dome. I think Drew Brees is a great player. I think that offense is great. I think the defense is a mess, and that translates into a lot of points both ways. And that last game was an odd game. I've told you guys a couple times, too, I'm really coming around on the Falcons' offense. You know, I think they're going to score points, you know, a lot, especially against this defense. Matt Ryan's played very well this year. They got two running backs playing pretty well. Julio's a little banged up, but he'll play and he'll be fine. I'm sure Atlanta's offensive line will control the line of scrimmage. So I could see Atlanta win this game, 35-34, or, whoever gets the ball last type of situation. I think Trufant will end up on Cooks, which isn't great news for Cooks. I mean, he's a great player, a great young player. I'm a huge fan of his. But, Trufant's a little above him right now. Trufant's a great corner. But Thomas and Snead and maybe even Kobe Fleener does something. I think Ingram has a little bit of a coming out party, too. Breeze will find people. So I like the Saints in a barn burner, close game. But I could see Atlanta winning that game, too. Guys, I want you to have a wonderful weekend. This was fun. I know we didn't go super in-depth in every game, but that's what the rest of the Locked On NFL Network is for. Go check out your Locked On Falcons, your Locked On Saints for deeper previews of these games. And you got my picks. You got some of my thoughts. Hopefully the injuries are kept to a little bit more of a minimum this week. Last week was really rough, especially on skill guys. We got a lot of rookie quarterbacks playing right now. Last night's game was eye-opening and super impressive and yet another notch on Belichick's bedpost as why he's going down as one of the all-time greatest, if not the greatest coach that's ever lived. So there you have it. We will get back on Monday and we will break down games Monday, Tuesday. Hopefully not too much injury news. Have a great day. Adios.